And then there were four, and what a four. And joining me to make it four around this table at League Express HQ this week, we're joined once again by Mr. Matthew Shaw.
Hello.
Barry Barrison.
Hello.
And Martin Sanderson. Good eye contact, that, Barry. Yeah, like that. Very good. So hello everybody and welcome to this week's Total Rugby League show. Loads of Rugby League chatter coming your way this week with these three bastions of journalism round the table.
Wow.
Later in the show, we're also going to be joined by Jordan Robinson, General Manager at the Newcastle Thunder, because last night at the glitz and glamour that was the Championship and League One awards, it was glitz and glamorous because you were there, Matthew, obviously.
I was going to say it wasn't glitz and glamour because I was there. But
Foundation of the year was Newcastle Thunder, so Jordan will be joining us later to talk about winning that award. But there is only one place we could start. The Super League playoffs last week. Let's start with the Thursday night game, Warrington v Castleford. I feel like we're missing Alex. But
I know.
What
he
would it
be?
Is that why he's not here?
He's partying still.
Yeah.
What do we make of Castleford's performance, firstly, but looking at the victorious side?
Tremendous performance, wasn't it? And, an understrength side played to its max, I thought. And one or two players really shone. Jordan Rankin, I thought, was absolutely outstanding. Yeah. And really, I thought I outshone Blake Austin even when Blake was on the field in the first half. Obviously, Warrington lost Blake at half time. It was disappointing to see his injury. But I'm not sure it would have made a massive amount of difference. But you just never know, do you? You know, Blake might have, if he'd not been injured, he might have come out and won it in the second half. So who knows?
I thought they were good. I think they're going to have to be a lot better on Thursday. Warrington were absolutely woeful. I thought they were better without Austin, actually. I thought Marmo coming on, you know, just having a fully fit pivot in there instead of Austin, who was visibly struggling, made a little bit of a difference. But Castleford, they defended very well, but on the same token, Warrington offered precious little in the way of gilt-edged attacking prowess.
Cool. I mean, were you surprised? Because Warrington have been not in the best of form for
awful
months.
Worst form
now
in the comp,
months now, isn't it? So were you surprised really with the fact that Castleford were so robust against them?
No, I think Castleford were pretty good. I thought down the middle they were excellent. They took it to Warrington.
You know, really took on the Warrington back, didn't they?
They took it to him down the middle of Warrington. Didn't like that intensity. I don't think they really kept up with that intensity, to be honest. I think the telling sign for me, really, and it's been discussed already, but the fact that with, 4 minutes ago, they go for a penalty goal pretty much inside their own half. That for me is a telltale sign of a team that has no confidence and no belief in how they're playing. Now, whether that's down to what Castleford did to them on the night, they defend them very well on the whole, but they had scored twice in that second half. I think that was just an obvious sign that was a team playing that didn't have enough belief in themselves.
There's a really interesting quote from Kevin Brown that he made on Sky, watching the game with the Sky commentary team, which we've actually taken as our quote of the week in League Express. I'll just read it, because it's really quite illustrating, I think. Basically, what he said was, the way we play, a lot of people have cottoned onto it now. We try and drive straight through the middle, and teams are tightening up, and that takes your timing out. Yeah. You saw Jake Truman and Jordan Rankin shooting out of the line, which is taking that time down and the decision-making off you. We weren't good enough to change on the run tonight, and we kept coming up with unforced errors. And that's absolutely right. But it's interesting that Kevin Brown should say that about his own team, isn't it? Yeah. I mean, he's obviously playing with Lee now, but it has been his team, his club, this season, effectively.
I do understand the point he's making, because if you watch Warrington,
they've become too predictable, is what he's saying.
If you watch Warrington early on in the season, a lot of the success came from little short plays through the props, you know, the little crash plays that got people through.
Quick play of the balls and Daryl Clark.
Yeah, Daryl Clark could scamper out, and then off the next play, they'd get the ball in and it'd be a short play between two forwards and one would drive through. And that did stop happening. And whether that is because the team smarted up to him, that's what Kevin seems to be alluding to. So, and it's fair to say, you know, Blake Austin has the X factor, there's no doubt about that. But they haven't been particularly entertaining to watch, have they?
Warrington, not as entertaining as they should have been, given that they've had Blake Austin, you know. As you say, they started off, I mean, Blake started off in a blaze of glory, didn't he?
Yeah.
It was tremendous. It looked like it was a strong favourite to win the Man of Steel award. I mean, it's still a contender, actually, but I couldn't see him winning it, not now.
Nah,
but, you know, As time went on, their performances declined until they got to Wembley, when they were great again, but they've declined since then, and he didn't play.
Warren, the Challenge Cup salvages the season, doesn't it?
No.
Do you not think?
I was gonna come to you for this bit, Aaron, because people are saying it's a disappointing season for Warrington. Yeah. It feels a bit like the Catalan situation in a way. Catalan this season set a new Super League attendance record, played at the new camp, yet people say it's a disappointing season. Warrington win the Challenge Cup, people are saying it's a disappointing season.
Yeah, because the one they want, as you know, you could compare it very much to football and Liverpool, can't you? That the one they want is the league title. They haven't won it for 64 years now.
64?
Is it 64?
Since Liverpool won the league?
Since Warrington won it.
Oh, sorry.
Rugby league podcast this, Ben.
Sorry about that, yeah.
Just
I mean, United radar popped up there.
Just to counter that, though, does that mean that Liverpool's season last year in the football was a failure because they won the Champions League?
No, but until they win the one that's eluded them for a long time, I think any season will feel incomplete. And then you factor in the fact that they finish with one win in nine, which is the worst form of any team in the competition. Even Crisis Club Wakefield had a better form than that. And London, who went down, had better form than that. They were second in a two-horse race for two-thirds of the season and somehow conspired to finish fourth and lost at home.
Straight away. Yeah.
I think this season is a disappointment for Warrington. It's a very interesting off-season.
You can certainly view it that way, can't you? I mean, having said that, there are two major trophies in rugby league and they've won one of them. And we don't yet know who's won the second.
I get that. You know.
I think the word that Aaron used that was spot on was incomplete.
Mm.
I personally don't think it's been a disappointing season,
but I buy
into the they don't feel like they've properly
the thing
fulfilled
that's really
what
disappointing
do,
for Warrington though is only being able to attract 5,700 whatever it was.
Shall we talk about the crowds then?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to dwell on it too much because you can be a bit preoccupied by attendances and stuff, but that is a disappointing attendance for a playoff semi-final.
The thing about Warrington is they've probably got the best social media profile in rugby league, I think.
I think so.
They're creative, they're really smart, they do a lot of really good things. But what it shows is that isn't the thing that determines...
It's empty noise, isn't it?
it won't attract a crowd.
Yeah.
You know, to this sort of game where they've got to pay on a one-off basis, there's got to be a different approach from Super League as a whole. You know, Super League has got to find a way of promoting this playoff format. It's a great format, but they've not done much
format.
To explain
it's
it.
It's the best format. The best format. I saw a tweet from someone... saying that it would have cost them £31 to sit in the main stand at Warrington on Thursday night. Working class sport, apparently. Not a chance.
Yeah, that's not really smart.
And look at, take Castleford as an example. They're looking at travelling away three weeks in a row just to make the grand final, so that's travel and tickets.
But Castleford took 500 fans, which
Every club who gets to the grand final, barring St Helens, whoever the other team is that's got to the grand final, we'll have had to play three games to get there, I think that's right. So there's three ticket costs there, three lots of travel, three lots of beer, three lots of stuff for your kids. Yeah. That's before you even get to the grand final. So I think the answer is simply, and it's a problem across the game as well, by the way. It's not just a Super League problem.
It's the same problem in the Challenge Cup.
It's the same problem in the Challenge Cup, the Championship. The answer is subsidise the ticket costs.
I was going to say, shouldn't these be treated as Super League?
But the thing is, that's interesting though. Both travelling clubs travelled superbly.
They did, as did Featherstone.
And Wigan have sold 2,500 for Friday.
So why that makes it even more complex for me because the away fans aren't being put off.
Yeah, maybe all the games should be held in neutral
fan,
venues.
You know, I think if you're singing, you get G'd up more for an away game, don't you?
Look at it this way. It would be very easy for Super League to create a playoff season ticket because every game is played at a different time.
Well, that's what I was trying to get at by making a Super League event. Basically,
there are six games
taking
altogether.
The clubs out of it.
You could actually put on six, you know, give a season ticket in a sense.
Yeah, but who's going to want to go to six different games?
Some people might.
The real crux of it is the two words Robert Elston used last Monday: fixture fatigue.
Yes,
I'm bored.
Can you blame Warrington and Wigan fans? Because obviously Salford, don't get to the playoffs that often. So
St Helens and Wigan could play each other five times before this season is out.
Yeah.
And they didn't even meet in the cup.
Yeah, it's too much. You know, there's no doubt.
Fixture fatigue. It's just everyone knows, and Robert Elston knows deep down, so if he's listening, he knows. That
well, he knew.
The solution is 14 teams, 13 at home, 13 away. Maybe a magic.
I know we're all so fatigued in restructures and that kind of thing, but this was foretold by Robert Elston himself a long time ago.
Yeah, one of the problems apparently last Monday at that press conference was he got sidetracked into talking about Toronto, didn't he? As
well? Yeah, well, he was only supposed to... The briefing, the mandate from the Super League came down to say that he was only supposed to talk
about... Which, on reflection, was a mistake because, of course, what he needed to do was really G up the playoffs and get people enthusiastic about them.
The thing I bought into what Elston said more than anything was there was a lot of, we want to do this, we want to do that, but we can't do. And one of that was on loop fixtures.
Because they're locked into a Sky deal which calls for a certain amount of games on television per year, and the only way you can fulfil that amount of games on television per year is by having loop fixtures and too long a league season. If Robert Elston had the chance tomorrow, I think he would go to 11 at home, 11 away in a magic, and a 23-round season, and you would start in late February and finish in early October. You might even start in early March, because nobody, and I don't care what anyone says, nobody is still... feeling fresh and feeling excited and invigorated about rugby league. I mean, I had to watch it since the 31st of January.
See, it is a ridiculous thing.
I will admit that Castleford Warrington last week didn't really whet my appetite. Salford Wigan, I was very excited for. I thought that would be a cracking game.
Were you excited pre-game about it?
Yeah, I was.
You did say last week.
That game, I was genuinely excited for that game. But not Warrington Castleford, no, I wasn't really.
I can relate to a lot of neutrals who are fatigued at this point.
The other issue... And I really don't know the answer to this one, is there is a massive, massive hatred for Thursday nights.
There's a poll currently.
In terms of attendance.
From fans, there is a massive hatred for Thursday nights. There's a poll currently
on totalrl.com. Head over there if you'd like to vote yourself about the reasons why you didn't attend the matches on Thursday and Friday. And the winner at the moment, 36%, is the timing of the match.
Yeah.
And the other one is the game was on television in second.
I hate to be blunt, but everyone's got to get this Thursday night's a rubbish argument out of their head, because they're here to stay. They get good viewing figures. It's a good slot. It's a good slot for Sky that they generally don't have a lot of stuff on because they don't have the Europa League football.
I believe that what's happening with the new contract is that they're trying to get it back to Friday and Saturday.
Well.
But whether that will happen.
Saturday afternoon
or early evening is what I understand.
Disastrous.
But,
I can't go football,
but there's a possibility that the Championship will take the Thursday night slot. As I understand.
Will Championship fans moan about the Thursday night slot?
I think if they're on TV every week, that's a bad idea. Yeah. It was noted at the Championship Awards do last night that the two playoff games that have been on Sunday evening
have been brilliant.
Correct. That's the slot for Championship.
But they have been the highest viewed Championship games of the entire season.
That's the slot.
What was the audience size?
I seem to recall that the Leaf Everton one was incredibly high. Sunday six is pushing on towards six figures.
Sunday six is the slot for Championship. Thursday is the slot for Super League. It's a good precursor to the weekend for everyone. It's here to stay, unfortunately.
The question is, and here's the thing, I have no issue with Thursday nights either. We travel to so many games Thursday, Friday, and people say it's too hard to travel on a Thursday night.
Well, the fact is...
I find that the travel is actually easier on a Thursday night than a Friday night.
Yeah, it probably is. But the fact is, even though you find that, people still don't want to make those cross Pennine trips.
100%.
So let's make the Thursday night games, if we can. Well, that's all local derbies.
That's true.
You know,
that's true.
I mean, Hull v Hull-Kiar would be a good Thursday night game.
I think I'm going to disagree again, because I think the mentality of our supporters is really, really poor in this regard. Football, right? You have team. Where did you go last Tuesday to watch Trafford City?
Cheltenham
on a Tuesday night.
That's not right.
How many people went to Cheltenham on Tuesday night with you?
About 700.
700. And we're mourning that the furthest you're going to have to go is from Hull to Wigan. Come on. For God's sake, get it.
It's a good point.
It's the mentality.
Which default setting is to mourn.
It is, 100%. And I hate to say it, but it's true.
So what you're saying is we need to change the culture.
Yeah. The other thing, Martin, which never gets brought up, they always go, get rid of Thursday nights, and if Sky don't want them, tell them to get
lost. Yeah, that's the other thing.
All right, where are you getting your $40 million
cut
from?
I had this argument with someone
on Twitter, and I said, all right, what are you doing without the Sky for money? He went, it's not my job to make these decisions and find the answers. There isn't an answer to that.
Well, I'll go back to the 80s and I'll be part-time except for Wigan.
It's just create, for me, the culture... The mentality of this Thursday night is wrong.
So what we're saying is, our plan, Thursday night would be local games.
I don't well, see it. I think there's logic in that.
Friday, your champagne game, and Saturday, your nice continental game away in France.
You know, and I know I'm sat in the chair Alex normally sits in, but Castleford have taken 1,000 fans on Thursday night.
Yep.
So there can't be that big a problem with Thursday nights.
No. We'll go back to fixture fatigue, though. You wouldn't get that many if you were playing...
If it were a regular season game.
The problem of the playoffs is with home supporters.
Yeah.
That's the point. And, you know, it's persuading home fans to turn out.
I hope Salford can prove us all wrong on Thursday night.
So do I.
And stick two fingers up to the season. I really hope the people get out and support them because...
They deserve it, don't they?
They're 2 wins away.
And Castleford will no doubt take 1,000 fans again.
Yeah. I don't know. There is an issue there.
Shall we just talk about Wigan v Salford?
What a game.
It was a great game, wasn't it?
What a player, Salford, Morgan Smithies.
Morgan Smithies. Is that true? 72 tackles in one match?
That's the official stats.
How is that possible?
Well,
72 tackles. Yeah. Halifax lad in that.
Just
why.
Never stops. Just
I know, but what is it? The Flash? You can't be everywhere, can they?
They've been waiting for a long time. They haven't been forcing Sean O'Loughlin to go around again for the last couple of years. Far from it, because he's still one of the best craftsmen in his position. But I think they've been cautiously waiting in the wings to see if an heir apparent would emerge for Sean O'Loughlin, and I think we are now arriving at that moment.
It looked like Bateman was Smithies, not just Smithies, Partington, Liam Byrne.
Yeah. But Smithies is the standout of them all.
Good.
He is absolutely exceptional, and you only need to look at the team sheet. O'Loughlin's on the bench and Smithies is starting. Yeah, he's the heir apparent. He's the guy now.
I said a few weeks ago in a piece, I was asked to who I thought was hard done by not to make the Great Britain squad, and I said it then, and I firmly believe it now that he's the guy that should be in. That's not in.
Well, it's coming pretty close.
I don't think so.
You
need to be careful.
The only reason I won't have him in, and Adrian Lamb made this point after the Cass game, he hadn't had a proper pre-season of first team rugby.
And if they win the grand final and they go all the way to the grand final. There's a lot of big games and a lot of rugby for a teenager to be playing.
When you're talking about being fatigued as a writer or a spectator,
I think
the players must be like.
Well, if Bennett probably won't pick him for the reasons that Adrian Lamb and we
have just
discussed.
And there are plenty of other good forwards.
And there are a hell of a lot of good forwards.
So,
the guy we're just talking about him replacing is captain of Great Britain. So he's going on the tour and Smithies, and I would suspect. But his time will come.
What does Salford get out of that game? Is it something to build upon, or is it a bit of deflating?
Yeah, 100%. Because when they went behind, I think the fear was, well, we'd heard it from a lot of people that they've not played in a playoff game before. How are they going to cope with a big game? Well, how they responded was magnificent. They went in at half-time level. They were in it until the very last kick of the game against probably the best team in the country right now in Wigan. And I think... For anyone who feared that they were going to get blown away at Wigan, given how they've already lost them 3 times this year, I think that's the closest defeat in terms of margin that they've suffered against them. So while it's obviously disappointing to lose and they've used up their second bite of the cherry now, they can take a hell of a lot of heart from the fact that they are a big game team. They are a team who can rise to the occasion. And I think collectively, you know, there's obviously the fact that it could be Hastings, Jones, etc.'s last ever game for the club on Thursday. I think there's a lot going for them, and I think they're actually in a better position to go for a run at this grand final than I gave them credit for.
I think they are, and the thing about the Wigan game, it was quite incredible how Salford attacked Wigan in the last 10 minutes of the game.
Oh, it was one way,
they were attacking them relentlessly, and credit to Wigan for keeping them out. You know, they're probably about 5 or 6 times in the last 10 minutes when they just about got to the line, but just were a metre short. And the thing is that on the stats, on the game stats, apart from the scoreboard, Salford won the game. Because you look at the stats, the metres, more metres for Salford, more carries. Offloads, Salford had 13 offloads, Wigan didn't have a single one, which is quite remarkable.
I can understand them winning the forward
very
battle.
Conservative game Wigan played, actually.
Because their front three were absolutely outstanding. Yeah. Mossop, Tompkins and Dudson, all ex-Wigan players. All ex-Wigan players, and I thought they were all phenomenal.
The only concern I have for Salford is that was an incredibly intense game. Incredibly intense.
Backing up 6 days.
They've got to back it up. Cass have an extra day's rest.
Cass had a battle, though.
Yeah, but they've got an extra day.
I've not seen the squad yet for Castleford, so I don't know who's...
Massey's back, isn't he?
Massey and Eden are back, actually, and they've left Turner and McMeekin out. McMeekin didn't play last week anyway. He failed at the last minute. So Massey will come in and Eden will come in on the wing,
which really
will be
like
very
Massey
interesting. There'll be a lot of eyes on Craig Eden on Thursday night, because I'll tell you what, Hastings will Hastings and Lollar, yeah, they will go for him. Yeah, they will go for him.
Obviously, Hastings has got an eye issue, has he, from that?
Yeah, he said afterwards he thinks he'll be fine. I suspect he will be playing. There's not a danger of him missing the game.
He'll play with an eye patch if he has to.
Yeah, he would be. Well, I'm going to go against what I said 10 minutes ago about fixture fatigue, but I am actually really looking forward to Salford Cast simply because I hope the winner of the game makes the grand final, because we need a new team. I don't want another St Helens Wigan grand final.
No.
We need a Salford or Cass in that grand final. Good luck to whoever wins it.
Right, so Salford Cass on Thursday, St Helens Wigan on Friday. Just to mention then for St Helens, Wigan battle.
Yeah, we don't know, do
battle
we?
Battle hardened.
We don't know. We have this debate every time we have this playoff system. Will it be a help or a hindrance having a week off? The honest answer is I just don't think you know. Because some years it looks to have worked in their favour, some years it goes against them. The one thing I'd say is that they've pretty much had a fully fit squad, didn't they, going into the end of the season? So there wasn't a great need to rest people up, I'm sure they weren't clamouring for that week off. So that might be one sort of dynamic, but I don't know.
Just to give us a comparison, in Australia they had this system for about 40-odd years, from the mid-50s to the late 90s. Top five system, and there was only one year in all of those years when the top team, the minor premiers, didn't get to the grand final, which was in 1989, and it was South Sydney. Every other year,
well, you've got two goals, haven't you?
The minor premiers,
two home games,
get to the grand final. Yeah.
If you lose two home games in a row, you don't deserve to make the grand final, do you?
No, exactly.
And I think they will one way or the other. It's tough to call Friday, but I think they'll be at the grand final.
I think they'll win on Friday, personally.
Probably.
I think losing at Wembley. If ever something was designed to motivate them, losing at Wembley to Warrington and not wanting to lose again this grand final.
I mean, to be fair, we talk about new teams at the grand final. The last time they get there, was it the Ben Flower one?
14.
Yeah, 5 years since the last time they got there. They won it. So they've not been there for, you know, for a relative period. I mean, for Salford to get there, I know Cass were there 2 years ago, but they're still relatively new at the big table, aren't they? The top table.
Well, that's the other angle. Cass have got unfinished business from 2017, haven't they?
Yeah.
Salford's just an amazing story waiting to be told, but, you know, we'll see.
Just a quick prediction then. The group consensus is St Helens will be in the grand final.
St Helens will win and Salford will win on Thursday. Yeah, but I'm not sure about Salford.
I'm more sure of Salford. I think
Castleford are, they'll come really
far. I think I'm more sure of Salford.
I think Salford might just edge them.
St Helens and Salford.
I'm pretty sure St Helens will win. I'm not sure on Salford.
Mm. Well, there we go. TotalRL.com, the place to go for previews and that kind of thing, and all the transfer speculation and injury news that's heading into these games this weekend. The Championship is already one step ahead of Super League when it comes to the playoffs through to the grand final already. Toronto Wolfpack.
It was a
the biggest crowd of the weekend as well. Mm. Biggest crowd of the weekend.
Congratulations on promotion.
The hologram technology, another level in Canada, isn't it? Yeah,
that was tremendous. The meltdown when they announced that attendance was the highlight of my week.
I didn't see the whole game. I saw bits of it. But nobody's beating them this year. The Brian McDermott factor was always likely to be the difference.
I mean, Toulouse are a good side, and Toronto were just another level.
There's been this theory, hasn't there, that they weren't prepared for the playoffs because
they didn't have any tests.
Because whenever teams have been going over there, they've been leaving the best players at home, and so they go in a bit undercooked, where other teams are battle hard. And
the thing nobody's considering is if a mid-table Championship team takes its best players or not, it's probably not going to make a difference against Toronto.
No.
That's the one thing.
So the reality was that was a reinforcement that they are the team to beat.
I think the team that could really most be likely to beat them would be Featherstone, though.
I think Featherstone have the best chance.
I would still go Toulouse because of the way they play. They just can score points.
Toulouse are a very
Featherstone v Toulouse in France this season.
Intriguing.
Was a very close affair.
Yeah, it was.
This is
ridiculously close.
Can I be honest? We talk about fixture fatigue, and I know I'm saying this with my Championship hat on. This is the game of the weekend I'm looking forward to the most.
Toulouse,
Featherstone. That's the game I'm looking forward to.
But it'll be a great game to watch for a neutral. It will be. And it's in that slot again, and we go back to times. Sunday evening is the Championship slot. It's the slot that works for them.
Well, it looks to me as though Sky are testing that slot out, actually. Good. You know, doesn't it?
It won't be Thursday because I just don't think it's feasible for guys who have got to, you know, two-thirds of the league have got to get up and work on Friday morning.
It would be unfair on them, actually, as a part-time competition.
You know, Featherstone, let's say Featherstone were playing Widnes on a Thursday night, both part-time teams. Featherstone have got to get time off work to get there, and then they've got to get back and work. Mm-hmm. So Thursday night is Super League slot. This slot, I remember it for a long time. Super League used to have games on a Sunday, didn't it? And it's a good slot, but it belongs to the Championship.
Although when I was a kid, there used to be a lot of midweek games, and that was before the M62 was built. Mm. And I always remember going on the A62 through Huddersfield and stopping halfway, you know, either going or coming back, and you know, playing outside the pubs on that road while my dad and all his mates went in and had a few. So you know, it's really strange.
That team was in there as well. Don't believe what he said then. not as a
6-year old.
Obviously, Toronto Wolfpack will be hosting that grand final. Yeah. There is still, and I can't believe I'm saying this, there's still a question mark over whether if they win that final, they get promoted. There is though, isn't there? It's not confirmed.
Yeah, so. Right. So you sit the 11 Super League chairman down and say, "What do we think then, lads?" Oh, by the way, if you let them in, you're all going to get a cut of their funding. So what do you think?
What's the beef then? What's the problem?
There's no beef, is there? The RFL, they've got. I'm sorry, right? Unless something dramatic has happened with their funding or their club situation or the health of their club in the last 2 years, which I'm led to believe it hasn't, then they are going to be in Super League next year if they win the grand final, because the RFL set the precedent by letting them into the competition, them into League One. So if there was any due diligence to be done, that was the time to have done it, when they were coming in as a new franchise and a new licence. They've got the licence, they're a Super League team.
And we assume that due diligence was done, and actually, to be fair, Toronto have fulfilled all expectations. They couldn't have done more, could they, really?
I was going to say, what would have happened if they won the grand final last year? Would they then?
Yeah, well, this is the thing. There was no major talk. From what I can gather...
The difference this year is that Rob Elston's arrived in Super League.
But he was there.
Separate organisation.
They're letting the RFL take care of it all, and they're going to be guided by the RFL.
But the way that Robert talks about Toronto, though, it doesn't sound full of enthusiasm about them, does he?
He went over, didn't he, last year? And he raved about it.
They set the precedent by letting them into League One 2-3 years ago. So, and if you tell the Super League clubs, "Oh, it's on you, but by the way, you get a cut of their funding," then they're gonna drive them there.
Which I think is ridiculous, by the way.
Yeah, we did discuss that last week about
the funding.
Congratulations to Featherstone. They defeated York. Probably a game too far for York. I think I just think
Featherstone are a very good side. They've got some really good players, haven't they? You know, that they've, you know, they're playing a lot of Leeds players, a lot of other players.
Only three or four, I think, played this week.
Yeah, but Callum McClellan's really risen to the challenge recently. He's done really well.
I like James Harrison, mate.
Yeah. He's really good
player.
He's
wow.
Really he has come on, hasn't he?
Player he's turning into.
But Brad Day's the one for me.
He's good as well.
He should be in Super League. That's the thing. I understand that they have a strong link with Leeds. I do get that. But I think that does tend to overshadow sometimes the players that they have got.
They've used it very cleverly.
And the players that they have got, you know, players like Josh Hardcastle, who stepped up from Fev Lions and has turned into a really good Championship player. Yeah. There are many others. John Davis has been a great player for them for years. And Harrison, he's turned into a hell of a player. But yeah, they do rely on the Leeds link a little bit. I mean, a large part of their spine is contracted to Leeds Rhinos, but the other 13, 14 guys that are in there are doing a hell of a job as well.
And obviously, one game this weekend to lose against Featherstone Rovers.
A Sunday night
on telly.
In Toulouse?
Yes.
I might have had it Sunday afternoon.
What do you think?
Probably to lose. You know, if last week was a game too far for York, I'd probably lean towards this being a game too far for Fev with the travel.
A few injuries as well.
Yeah. But look, by the rules of the playoffs, they'll have finished third. You know, great season for them. And they'll go again next year. But I suspect to lose at home.
I think Featherstone have got a great chance of winning this game, personally. I just think there might be, the professionalism is really impressive under Ryan Carr.
The thing that works against Toulouse, of course, is the travel.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. But they are full-time. You know, most of them are. So, whereas Fev...
It should be a very enjoyable game to see,
yeah,
I think.
Matt's right, that it will be a good spectacle. Yeah.
Let's talk about League One. Oldham straight into the final after defeating Doncaster last week. No surprise, really. Oldham have been pretty impressive towards the end of the season.
Watched it on our league, thought they were really good.
But Doncaster will go again, and this goes back to the system we spoke about, I think, last week or the week before. Doncaster have to go back to Newcastle.
This is the flaw.
Even though they beat Newcastle.
Well, 20 years ago, you would have got home advantage, wouldn't you, I think, if memory serves.
Well, they should do, really.
Well, you should, yeah, I agree.
You know, it should be at Doncaster. Although the really weird thing is that because it's actually at Newcastle, it's allowed them to have a double header of Newcastle versus
Doncaster. Yeah,
12
o'clock Sunday afternoon.
12 o'clock and the rugby union game between the same two sides, Newcastle and Doncaster.
They've got so much potential.
They have.
And look, I'm not trying to discredit Oldham and Doncaster and suggest they haven't got potential, but it is really there for all to see the scale of the potential.
I mean,
to refer to
Oldham, last time in the Championship, they were playing at Bowerfold. They had four-figure crowds.
And Doncaster have got good backing with Club Doncaster, the guys who own Doncaster Rovers.
And a great stadium, actually.
So there's going to be a great addition to the Championship next year. But you can see the link-up they've got with the Falcons. They've got the same owner, haven't they? I just think it could take off in Newcastle.
Seymour Kirk,
that's his name.
Is very dedicated to the rugby league side.
They're going big with the World Cup as well, aren't they?
They are.
Just a quick mention for Workington Town, who were defeated by Newcastle. I think they only had one guy on the bench. They were pretty threadbare, weren't they?
That's really disappointing for such an important game, isn't it? Really.
Season of transition for Workington. Yeah. Changing coaches midway through.
He's moving to Workington, isn't he, I believe?
Yeah.
So.
I think he'll do a good job.
Yeah, I think in time, you know, would you be surprised to see them sort of go down the route that Whitehaven have gone down and put a bit more trust in local lads and get a lot more Cumbrians in that team? Maybe, because
it's
worked, hasn't it, for Whitehaven? So good luck to them.
Well, let's continue our talk about League One then, and the Newcastle Thunder, the glitz and glamour that was the Betfred Championship / League One awards due took place in Manchester on Tuesday evening, and winner of Foundation of the Year was the Newcastle Thunder. And on Wednesday lunchtime, I caught up with the general manager at the club. Here's Jordan Robinson. Well, Jordan, a big thank you for joining us, and a big congratulations that's the second time in 3 years you've won Foundation of the Year. You must be very pleased.
Oh, definitely. I think it's a good reward for the club and all its staff for the hard work that goes on in and around the region.
The community work that the club does is well recognised, obviously, but just give us an idea about why the Newcastle Thunder won this award. I mean, the scope of the work that's being done.
Yeah, it's absolutely massive. I think it was, you know, the big project of sort of development and growing the North East Rugby League as a whole. So it was in terms of growing participation in the junior game, which is up 35% in the last 5 years. Introduction to the brand new Spark Festivals, which have been a fantastic development tool for not only kids at clubs but also kids at schools, brand new to the game. All the way down to the work that was started with the learning disability, and just, you know, everything like that. It's really it's grown year on year, and I think we're just again ready to sort of kick on again for next year. We've got some real big plans to announce in October, so it's exciting times.
And obviously, we know that there's a strategy in place here to grow the sport in the North East. And like you touched upon there, it's very much centred on various aspects of rugby league, getting involved in community activities. How important is that? Because obviously, there's the social media stuff and promoting matches themselves. But all this stuff away from the rugby league pitch, it really is vitally important work in the grand scheme of things.
Oh, it's huge. You know, part of our key sort of KPIs really is that not to grow more clubs, local clubs, means to actually get more volunteers, more referees, more coaches, everything into the game. So it's the overriding goal, getting new clubs, and everything underneath, all the foundations have got to be put in, and that's what we're trying to do now. So we're about to launch a brand new club in the West End of Newcastle, which we've started training, and that's 20 new kids to the game, and it's just growing it piece by piece. And, you know, eventually you look at the North East map now and it looks like, you know, it's quite a bit of a hotbed for the game and in the schools, and that's now starting to translate to the clubs.
Yeah, absolutely. And we should say, I mean, you touched upon volunteers there. That's such a key part of this. Obviously, there's development officers and there's work that the club does itself to unify the thing together and give it a bit of direction. But the whole thing is underpinned by volunteers, not just involved with the Newcastle Thunder, but also the community game more generally.
Oh, absolutely. And that's the first thing I said last night, was that this award was for all 13 clubs and everyone involved with the clubs, because they're the ones that are taken countless hours growing their individual clubs, and it's a good developmental sort of mindset in the North East, and I think that's what's driving the clubs. Really good sideline behaviours, you know, and it's a positive place for a child to go and play.
And you touched upon the school side of things as well. A sport without that bedrock of junior players doesn't get very far, and all the work that's being done there. I mean, how many schools are we talking about that are playing rugby league on a regular basis now?
Oh, it's huge. You know, you've got the Champ Schools initiative, which the RFL drives, but underneath that now, underpinning it, is development-focused cup competitions and leagues underneath. So, nine-a-side format, which we've started getting in. So even a school that might not have enough, you know, to get 13-a-side, we'll try the 9-a-side. Everything to play the ball, it's a little bit easier to start learning it and it getting it that way. So, you know, you're talking, God, we must be over 50 schools in the across the North East now that are playing rugby league on a regular basis. It's massive. It's taken off big style.
And that can only snowball, and we are starting to see that snowball getting even bigger now, aren't we?
But definitely, you know, you've got a captive audience in schools. Every kid's got to go, so it's your perfect time to coach kids and get them bought into the sport of rugby league. And once they're hooked, you know, you've got them for life. You know, the sport, it's a great product. They love playing it. They love being involved in it. Then they start to come down and watch the first team, the Newcastle Thunder, and you know, you're starting to create not only rugby league players but rugby league fans and kids that are now going on, who we started coaching 5-6 years ago. They're now, you know, progressing on to university, playing the game at a university level, and it, you know, you're creating rugby league fans and players for a very long time.
And obviously there's a legacy here as well, not just what the work that the Newcastle Fund has done. Obviously there's been the Magic Weekend in previous years. We heard about the World Cup announcement as well with Kingston Park stepping up to be a venue. This is huge, isn't it? The sky's the limit here.
It's massive. You know, 2021 will come around in no time. So we've got a lot of work to do. It's like 100,000 tickets to sell across the North East with the game at the Teesside and the four games in Newcastle. So it's ambitious. We believe we can get sellouts. And what an opportunity! What a sort of thing to sit at the top for everybody drive towards. You know, it's massive, and it gives every kid that's playing the game now something to really look forward to. And I suppose for the sport as a whole to really grasp. You know, it's not every year you get the chance to have a World Cup here, and the positivity that comes with a World Cup and the opportunities are huge.
And obviously, while I've got you here, Jordan, as well, we do need to mention on the pitch and a significant game taking place this weekend between the Newcastle Thunder and Doncaster. But there's also, it's a bit of a doubleheader as well, because both Doncaster and Newcastle going head-to-head in the other cold as well. So a big weekend to come at Kingston Park.
Oh, massive, massive weekend. You know, it's I don't think I've ever seen it before, where you've had the league and the union teams of the same city playing against each other on the same day at the same venue. So, groundbreaking. But I think that goes to show as well as how forward-thinking the club is and of the game up here. You know, the union and the league coming together to create a really good event. You know, so hopefully a lot of union fans will come down, maybe just get the first taste of rugby league, and, you know, if 10% of them enjoy it and come back, then, you know, it's a win-win for the rugby league side, and vice versa for our guys staying for the rugby union. So it's really positive. It should be a really entertaining game. Hopefully the weather stays okay, and we'll get to see a really fast-paced, entertaining brand of rugby.
And regardless of what happens on the pitch, just your final thoughts then, Jordan, for the future of the community programme up there in the North East. Like we touched upon in this interview, it's growing all the time. What's your opinion on the future for all the work that's been done off the pitch? Where can it go to next?
It's endless, really. You know, we're trying to create, you know, it's all about being innovative and trying new things and thinking outside the box and try, you know, being forward thinking, you know, trying new things all the time. Some that don't work, some that do. And I think for the vision of the North East, just to keep growing, and everything's done organically, it's done the right way, so it's all being built with solid foundations. So it'll be here for the long time. What we're building now, in 20 years' time, you know, hopefully we're thriving team, a club in the Super League. You know, the North East will be a heartland.
Jordan Robertson there at the Newcastle Thunder. A big congratulations to everyone at the club for that award on Tuesday night. The awards do itself, Matthew. Mm. You were there on our behalf. Mm. How was the do?
Expensive.
good.
£6 a pint.
£6 a pint, everyone.
Sorry, I shouldn't be more. They're always pleasant, aren't they? You know, it's a chance to speak to people and have a beer with people that you wouldn't normally get to do. And we're nice. Nice to see. It's always nice when people get awarded for what they've done, isn't it? So
other awards on the night. League One Club of the Year was the Keighley Cougars. Aaron, come to you for this bit.
Why? What, for their decision to sack Craig Lingard? Yeah, no, look, it was a very tough off-season for them. They didn't look like they were going to get to the starting post, did they, at one stage. And I think we all know there's some good, hard-working people at Keighley, some guys who give up a lot of time, a lot of effort, a lot of money to try and get Keighley back on a level footing. The crowds, particularly at the start of the year, were very good, weren't they? They tail a little bit towards the end, but...
They're in the process of sprucing up the place as well, aren't
they?
Yeah, yeah. Championship Club of the Year went to the York City Knights. Don't think anyone could argue with that, can they?
No.
And League One Coach of the Year was Gary Charlton. Shocker. Yeah. Championship Coach of the Year, James Ford. Shocker. Andrew Bowman won Young Player of the Year in League One. Shocker. And Matty Ashton, shocker, Young Player of the Year in the Championship. And DNA.
I'm really looking forward to seeing how he does in Super League next year, by the way.
At Warrington, yes, yeah. Absolutely.
If he plays.
If he plays.
League One Player of the Year was DNA, and Championship Player of the Year was Gareth O'Brien. Again, shocker.
Because I don't watch Toronto a lot, but
why wasn't that? Says, whenever you say Championship, Dane Chisholm is always mentioned,
isn't it? Dane Chisholm, with no disrespect to him, he's not on the level of Carrella, the Toronto boys, or Mark Carroll. Although Mark Carroll's not been as prominent this year.
No,
but for me, how on earth was Ricky Latelli not in that shortlist?
I think Wilkin's been... I've watched them every week, but I think Wilkin has been outstanding at that
level. Wilkin has been quality, but Ricky Latelli is just... Ricky Latelli will rip up Super League.
Most expensive centre in the world.
Lots of exciting prospects coming through at Wigan's Academy. Their 10th Academy crown in 12 years. It's the only point in having that competition nowadays.
And they just signed Jason Robinson's lad as well, haven't they, if memory serves.
They must be good, because I've seen Saints a few times. They have games before, Super League games a lot, don't they?
Wigan's Academy, I tell you what. I don't want to put too much pressure on one young kid's shoulders, but Harry Smith is going to be an absolute worldie of a player. And Ellery Hanley's lad at fullback looks good as well.
Yes, I mean, he's obviously inherited something from his dad.
And I was sat next to John Keir actually watching that game last week. And I know he's played a lot of first team rugby already, but John Keir was right that the best player on the field was actually on the losing team. Jack Wellsby was the best player on the field. He's another one who I think, in time, I mean, he's going to take the throne off Coote, isn't he, eventually, when Coote goes back, but he's going to be a hell of a player. There's a lot of talent in both those teams.
There is, yes.
Congratulations as well to the Halifax wheelchair team, who stopped Leeds Rhinos winning the treble in the Super League Grand Final last weekend, so big congratulations to them. That's nearly it from my perspective. There's a new Rugby League World out.
I just wonder whether is it just worth adding something about Australia, because...
I was going to come to the NRL.
We do have a massive game this weekend, Canberra versus South Sydney.
I mean,
it's sold out in Canberra.
If Alex is listening, which I'm sure he is, I went and watched an NRL match.
You went to Canberra? Match.
No, in my kitchen on Saturday morning. Exactly. It's going the extra mile. Yeah. And Melbourne were just amazing in their game. They
are outstanding, and they play the Roosters this weekend, who are also outstanding. So I think that's going to be a hell of a game. I'd love to see Canberra get there, though, and see Bateman and all the other English guys from Canberra in the grand final.
What's this spat going on between Sam Burgess and the powers that be?
Oh, he made some comments about the disciplinary process. He described it as a kangaroo court. But it sounds a lot simpler than it is, really. He actually made a lot of very important points, but then spoilt it with that expression.
Typical.
Got his own car parking spot. What more does he want?
Yeah, he has.
Good joke that last week. Right, so NRL covered in full in League Express on Monday. Anything else coming up on in League Express?
Well, no, just the everything that's in there. Normally, the fullest coverage you'll find of all the weekend's playoff games in all the competitions, as well as the NRL, as you say. And the women's game as well, that's reaching a climax.
Yes, absolutely. I think we're nearly at the playoff stage, aren't we, in the Women's Super League. Matthew, you never did, because I know you've moved on to other things now, but you've not mentioned what's in the Rugby League World on Friday.
We got Great Britain,
yes,
which I know about because I did that. Sam Tompkins is the Q&A guy. We've also got a piece with Gary Charlton, actually, which I'm led to believe is a very good piece. Verity Thomas, which is something you definitely need to read. I won't go into too much detail on that. And a talking point piece by Gareth Walker on referees.
Okay, okay. And back chat this week?
We have... Martin was a very, very late call-up. It was like crisis mode for the head coach, myself. We had to pluck Martin out of the treatment room. He is joined by Ryan Carr and Oliver Roberts.
Brilliant. And Aaron, the Guardian, the Observer. What's coming up in your world?
All the usual stuff.
I love these chats we have at the end of the show.
Yeah, well, Aaron never really knows what to say, does he?
Well, I don't really.
It's difficult to give too much away when you don't know what's happening yourself.
Yeah, that's true. But there'll be loads of reviews of the matches that we've already talked about.
Oh, super.
TheGuardian.com?
Yes.
For good. Anyway, head over there or buy the paper itself. But it for this week's Total Rugby League show. A big thank you to Martin Sadler.
Thank you.
Aaron Barra, always a pleasure. And Matthew Shaw, thank you for joining us. And Jordan Robinson, of course, from Newcastle Thunder. And wherever you're going this weekend, make sure you have fun.